Today's share in the Daf Yomi is more of a common Daf Kuf Dalet. We begin 8 lines from the top at the 2 dots, Kuf Dalet of an Aleph, with the quoting of the Mishnah. We continue to learn for the safety, the success, the security of all of the Kochos Habitachon, all of the Kochos Tzal. All of Eretz Yisrael should be safe. The soldiers who need Refuah Shleimah should be Ezes Hashem, have one. We look forward to the speedy return of the Chatufim in good health, Bimheira, and there should be Shalom Al Kol Yisrael. Okay, again, picking up like the 2 dots, Kuf Dalet and Aleph, 8 lines on the top. We quote the Mishnah, Lo Yitein, Lo Livno, Lo Lishlucho. When the person who stole something and then admitted it, he had sworn falsely, so he now is having Hirurei Tshuva, and he admits it, so he has to go pay back the original person that he stole from, even if he has to go all the way to Madai. And he can't go and give it, the Mishnah said, to the guy's son or to the Shaliach. So we had explained that the shliach is talking about a shliach that the gazlan, the one who stole, he made a shliach, so he can't give it to him to go and designate that you go give it to the guy in Madai. That's not considered giving it back. Once the guy in Madai gets it, yeah, that would be fine. But until he gets it, the gazlan, the one who stole, is still going to be chayah for it. Now, we have a discussion now in the Gemara, Itmar. What happens if shliach, that the person who was robbed, the nigzal, he makes a shliach, shliach shasol the edim, and he made it in front of edim. So does that count? Does that mean that that is as if you gave it to the person who is in Madai? Now, if he designated him as a shliach l'kabbalah and said, go and accept this from so-and-so on my behalf, so then that is clear that that would work. But here he didn't say, I want you to go and accept this specifically on my behalf, but he made him a shaliach to be able to go and accept it on his behalf. So what is the halachic status in this situation? As Rashi explains, shaliach she'asol be'edim. Reuven, she'esh lo mos b'yad Shimon. Here we're not talking about a ganav necessarily. We're talking here that Reuven has money in Shimon's hand. In other words, he lends Shimon money and Shimon has to pay him back. Umino shaliach be'edim likablom hemenu. And Reuven makes a shaliach in front of Edim to go and get the money back from Shimon. So Shimon then gives this shaliach the money, and then something happens to the shaliach, and he loses the money. Does Shimon have the right to say, I gave back the money to you, and therefore I am potter? Or no, since it didn't yet reach the hands of Reuven, even though the shaliach was made in front of Edim, it doesn't count as if it was returned. That's the question, and this is a machlokes between Rav Chista and Rav Rabba. So Rav Chista says, Rav Chista Omar, have a shaliach. This is a valid shaliach, and when Shimon gives this shaliach the money, because Reuven had designated this shaliach in the presence of witnesses, it is considered a valid return, and Shimon has now paid off the debt, even if Reuven never gets the money. On the other hand, Rabba disagrees. Rabba Omar, lo have a shaliach. This is not a shliach. So what does it mean that he designated in front of Edom? The Gemara will now explain. Ruchis says this is a valid shliach, and Shimon, when he gives this shliach that had been designated by Reuven in front of Edom to return him the money that he had stolen or that he had borrowed from him, so then that is a valid return, and Shimon is now exempt from having to go pay back anymore. He is considered to have returned it. Ruchis tamar havi shliach, because lehachi, either torach is the gear that we have, or torach is the girsa that others have, he went and troubled himself, the okme be'edim, and he established this guy as a shaliach in front of Edim, the leku birshusei, in order that it should be considered that it is like him. And therefore, this is considered a valid return. On the other hand, the rabbi disagrees. Rabbi, my lo and shlech, it's not considered shlech. What did he do in front of Edim? Hakikamer, this is what he meant when he said, I'm designating this guy as a shlech in front of Edim. I'm essentially testifying that this is a trustworthy guy. Inish mehebnehu. Yeah, this is a person that I would have no problems giving my money to. However, I'm not designating him to be the agent of Kabbalah for me. I'm just mentioning, if you want to rely upon him, isamachta smoke. So then it's your choice to rely upon him. You're asking me, is he a dedicated person, a good person, a trustworthy person? Yeah, I would say that. But he's not my shliach l'kabbalah. And therefore, if you wish to, ibayis l'shadur b'yidei, then shadar b'yidei. If you wish to send it with him, fine. But that's not considered that I got it yet. Only when I get it will you have fulfilled your obligation. And if some onus comes along, so then you still owe me the money. That's machlokes between Rav Chista and Rabba. Now, the Gemara says, wait a second. We learned in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Tanan, it says over there, Hashoel es hapara, if a person is borrowing a cow, v'shulchan, and the one who owns the cow sends it to the person who wishes to borrow it, biyad bino, biyad abdo, biyad shlucho. The one who owns the cow, let's say Reuven, he's sending a cow to Shimon. So Reuven sends it with his own son, or with his own Eved, or with his own Shaliach. So that's not considered yet that Shimon, the one who's borrowing the cow, has it in his possession. And normally a Shoel is responsible for everything except Nesam Achmas Melocha. The only time the Shoel is Pater is if he's working the cow in a normal way and the cow dies while he's working it, so then he's Pater. Otherwise, he's Chai for everything. He's Pshia, Gneva V'Yaveda, Onsin, everything he's Chai for. But here he didn't yet receive it. So if the original owner of the cow, Reuven, sent it with Reuven's son, or with Reuven's Eved, or with Reuven's Shaliach, and the animal dies before it gets into the possession of Shimon, the Shoel, so then Shimon is exempt. He doesn't have to pay anything. Or even, oh, biyad bino, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho, shel Shoel, even if he sent it into the son, with the son of the borrower, he sends it in Shimon's son's possession. He sends it with Shimon's Eved, or with Shimon's Shaliach, and Umesa, and the animal dies before it reaches Shimon. Nevertheless, he even here, Potter, Shimon is Potter. That's the Beferish Mishnah, the Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadiches Omud Beis. Now, Hai Shlucho Hechidami, what are we talking about? That he was the Shaliach of the borrower. If you're telling me that Idelo also be Edim, he didn't make it in front of Edim, so then, Minoy Adin, how do we know that he was the Shaliach? Just because it's the Shoel's son, or the Shoel's Eved, or the Shoel's Shaliach, how do you know that? So obviously, it must not have been a case where he sent it to him without the presence of Edom. Elo, the also be Edom. The borrower, Shimon, designated this person in front of Edom to be a Shaliach. And what do you see? Uktani of the Potter. And that's exactly like Rabbi said, that all he is saying by designating this guy as a Shaliach in front of Edom is Enish Mehemnehu. He's a reliable guy. You want to send it to him, fine. You don't want to send it to him, that's your choice. But he's not designating him as a shliach lekabbalah. He's not saying, the minute this guy gets it, that's as if it's in my possession. This is exactly like Rabba. And Kasha L'Rab Chisda, that's a Kasha L'Rab Chisda, who says that no, the reason why he did it in front of Edom is to make him essentially a shliach lekabbalah. So this is a Kasha on Rab Chisda, and Rab Chisda would answer, Kedam Rab Chisda, b'schira ulekito. No, you're questioning me, if you didn't do it in front of Edom, how do you know? Mino Yadinan? That's because this was a trusted worker, Bischiro. It was his hired worker. So he gave it to him knowing that it would get to the Shoel, but not because it's a Shaliach LeKabbalah or Ulekito. He was his friend. Rashi has two interpretations over here. Lekito says, Shalukato Etzlo, that it was a hired hand, or it was Ladurimo Bebeso Litzav Subialma, Lashon Mori. Or the second interpretation, Rashi says, the name of his Rebbe, is that the person was there as a roommate, to have companionship. He didn't like to live alone, so he hired a roommate. So therefore, in this situation, this person is viewed as the known shaliach of the borrower, but not as a shaliach lekabbalah. If in fact, Rav Chisda said, if the shoel had designated him in front of Edom, then in fact, that would have been a shaliach lekabbalah, and therefore Rav Chisda says, that's how you have to learn the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Try again. Our Mishnah, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Beferish, lo yitain, lo livno, v'lo lishlucho. You can't give it to the guy's son, and you can't give it to the guy's shaliach. Now, what does it mean? Hai shlucho, hechidav, what type of a shaliach are we talking about? Idelo asol be'edim, if the person who had been robbed, the nigzal, didn't designate him in front of Edim, so then, mino yadinan, then what are you telling him about that he's a shaliach? Mino yadinan, how do you know that the guy is the shaliach of the nigzal, of the person who was robbed? Obviously, therefore, Elo, mustn't it be Elo Lav, the Asol, the Eidim, that we're talking here, that it was the Nigzal, the one who was robbed, designated Shaliach in front of Eidim, and yet our Mishnah says that that's not good enough. Exactly like Rabba Kashan Rav Chisda. So Gemara says, how would Rav Chisda answer it? The same way he just did a second ago. Tirgum Rav Chisda, no. In Mino Yadin, how do you know he was the guy's Shaliach? Because it was talking about Beschiro, it was talking about his hired hand, or Lakito, the guy that he either designated to go and collect his food on his farm, or to go and be there for companionship. Okay. The Gemara says, wait a second. Abo Shaliach Shosob Edom. The implication then of our Mishnah, according to Rav Chisda, is if you designate a Shaliach in front of Edom, my, what would be the halacha? Hochanami Davi Shaliach. That would then be a real valid Shaliach like Kabbalah. So wait a second. In the next part of the Mishnah, we seem to say, okay, he can't designate a Shaliach, but if you made based in the Shaliach, then that would satisfy it. So Adutani Seif, instead of the next part of the Mishnah saying, that you can give it over to a shliach lebeis and fulfill your obligation instead of having to go all the way to Mardai, and we said this was a great takana in order to facilitate people to do tshuva. So instead of giving us that case, lif lo galus they be dead. We always like to keep things as simple as possible. So if you could say that there's sometimes a shliach that he designated as good, sometimes a shliach that he designated as not good, so simply answer it this way. Lif lo galus they be dead, instead of bringing in the new concept of shliach based it. Say, under what circumstances is it not considered a shliach kabbalah? And on what circumstances is he considered a shliach kabbalah? Simple. Bishliach shlo aso b'edim. If it was the Schiro Lakito, so it didn't designate in front of Edim, so then that would not be adequate. Avo Shaliach Shoso Be'edim, but if he made the Shliach in front of Edim, so Hochanami Devi Shliach. So here, Rav Chisda, if you're saying that the scenario would be if a Shliach in front of Edim would be good, so then it should have stated so in the Mishnah. You had an opportunity to do so. So again, the Kasha returns on Rav Chisda. So how would Rav Chisda answer? Amri Lo Psikole. The Mishnah couldn't say absolutely 100% of the time this case, and therefore would prefer to give the case of the shliach based in, because the shliach based in is 100% regardless of who designated this guy as a shliach based in, the ganav or the nigzal. Both scenarios it would be acceptable, as opposed to the shliach shoso edim is only good if the nigzal designated it and not if the ganav designated it, as we now see inside of the Gemara. If you didn't understand it outside, we'll see it now inside. Shliach based in, in regards to a shaliach that is the shaliach of Beis Din, and that's considered that when you return the item that was stolen, the amount of money that was stolen to that person, it's as if you gave it to the guy in Mardai. So that's talking about Lo Shnah. Doesn't make a difference who designated him a shaliach Beis Din. Doesn't make a difference. Lo Shnah Aso Nigzal, when the guy that was robbed designated this guy to be shaliach Beis Din. Lo Shnah Aso Gazlon, heavy shaliach. And it doesn't make a difference if the Gazlon designated this guy to be a shaliach Beis Din. He went to the base and said, I want this guy to be the shaliach for you. So either way, it's good. Therefore, psikolei, it's across the board. It's one din. Psikolei. And therefore, it's a good statement. And that's why the Tanna of the Mishnah preferred to give us this case. Because if you're talking about a shaliach, also be edim, so then it depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The chiyaso nigzal, if the person was robbed, he was the one that made him into a shaliach. So then, that would be perfectly good. In the chiyaso nigzal, who the heavy shaliach? Because the nigzal has the right to go and make him as a shaliach lekabal in front of Edom. However, if the gazlan, the one who stole, he said, I want you to be the shaliach for that guy, a shaliach lekabal, lo heavy shaliach, it wouldn't work. And if a lo psikle, it's not one din across the board. And that's why the Tanav of Mishnah would prefer to give us the example of the shaliach based in, which works across the board, whether it was the ganav or the nigzal that made them as a shaliach, it works across the board. Okay. Gemara says, "Ulafukim ehaitana." This understanding that we just gave is to show us, bedafka, it's not like the following Tana, because we learned in another brisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees with what we just said. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Shaliach Beisdin Shaso Nigzal Velo Aso Gazlan. If the Shaliach Beisdin was made by the Nigzal, but it wasn't made by the Gazlan, it was only made by the Nigzal, so that's good. The Bryce will say that Rav Shimon Elazar says that's Potter. So, since the Nigzal made it, so then as soon as it gets into the hands of the Nigzal's Shaliach, that's perfectly good. That's considered a valid return. Or, Aso Gazlan, if it was the Gazlan that made it, Vishalach Halah, the Natal S. Shalom Miyado, and the Nigzal went and sent another Shaliach to go get it. So the Nigzal had to make his own Shaliach LeKabbalah. It wouldn't be good, implication here, it wouldn't be good if the Ganav made the Shaliach. It's only because he sent his own Shaliach LeKabbalah to take it from the Shaliach of the Ganav. So then it's Potter. Implication again being that if it was the designation of the Ganav that he made this person into the Shaliach based in, Reb Shimon ben Elazar said that that's no good. And that's why LaFukim HaItana. This Mishnah, our Mishnah, according to the understanding of Rav Chisda, is specifically to exclude this opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, so we have this machlokas. Everything seems to be still acceptable in this machlokas. Rav Chisda understands the Mishnah and the Brisa in his way. Rabbi understands in his way. And the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Elazar, the Amri Tavayu, Shaliach, Shaso Be'edim, Hevi Shaliach. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar agree with Rabbi Chisda to say that if you designate this person as a Shaliach LeKabbalah, you didn't say he's a Shaliach LeKabbalah, but you designate in front of Edim, he becomes a valid Shaliach LeKabbalah. Our Mishnah, the questions that we just raised, that our Mishnah says, Lo Bishlucho, that you can't go and give it to the guy's Shaliach, which seems to be on the surface to include a Shaliach that was made in front of Edim, otherwise Maya Dinan. So if you want to give a different answer than we gave before, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar would answer, Bimamsi Lo Shaliach. They're talking here where the one who was robbed, the Nigzal, he says, I'm making this guy as my shaliach if you want him. You have to come all the way to Mardai. No, you're not going to do that so easily. No, my guy happens to be coming back to your hometown. You want to give it to him? You want to trust him? That's an opportunity for you to return it to be in Mardai, but he's not my shaliach l'kabbalah. According to Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, the Nigzal is just doing a favor, so to say, to the Ganav. And he says, you have an obligation to come all the way to Mardai. I know that's hard for you. It happens to be that this guy is coming to Mardai next week. He's in your hometown. If you want to give it to him, but I'm not responsible yet for it. You haven't fulfilled your returning it to me until he gets it back to me in Mardai. But I'm giving you an opportunity. B'mam tzilo shliach d'amalei. That the Nigzal said to this shaliach, listen, go to the Ganav. You're in that area anyway. D'amalei. He says, listen, it's lizuze gabe planya. I have money in the hands of so-and-so, this Ganav. Or in the case of a deposit where the guy owes me money. And he has no way of getting it to me. Go to him, ischazile, and say, listen, I happen to be going to Mardai. The person who you owe money to is happy that I take that money from you. But he's not a shliach l'kabbalah. Dilma inishu delo mishkach l'shadurile. The reason he's doing this is because he's saying maybe the guy that owes me money has no way of getting that money to me in Mardai. So I'm giving him an opportunity. But it's not a shliach l'kabbalah. And that's how you'd have to understand the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar. And alternately, inam kidur chista, or we can give the same teretz that we gave for Rav Chista, b'schiro l'kito. How did he know mino yadin that he was a shliach? Because he was his hired worker or his friend, his roommate, and therefore he just assumed that that would be a valid shliach, but not because he was a designated shliach l'kabbalah. Mark continues, says, I'm Rehuda Mishmuel, let me turn to Kuvdalad Amidbeh. He's Rehuda's name is Shmuel. Eim mishalchin moz b'diokoni. You're not allowed to go and send money with somebody and assume that he's a good shaliach l'kabbalah. Again, you have the right to send the money. We're not saying that you can't send the money, but it's not considered that you gave the person that you have to give the money to them as a shaliach l'kabbalah if he just shows you a diyukoni. Rashi explains, Masalo bal ha-pikadon l'shaliach simonim. This, quote, shaliach has some sort of a proof that he was sent on behalf of the person who he owes the money to. Because of lo chosmo b'igeris, he gave him a letter saying, yes, I know this person. Umasulo v'amalo, lech v'hisra liploni. Make yourself visible, go in front of that guy, v'yitin l'chamos, and maybe he'll give you the money to get to me, sheyesh li b'yado, that he owes me. So again, this is like mamsi. This is very similar to the case of mamsi, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says. And just because he shows him some sort of a documentation that he really knows the guy, ein mishalchem oz b'diyukoni. That's not good enough. He's not a shliach l'kabbalah. You want to give him the money? Fine. If he eventually reaches to Mardai and gives him the money, then you have fulfilled your obligation. But if some accident occurs on the way for which he would be parted from, so then you still owe the money. And even if there are witnesses that are signed on this letter that, yes, so-and-so knows so-and-so, let's say, that is still, according to Yehuda Mishmur, not valid. That doesn't make him into a shliach l'kabbalah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, im edim chasum oleh, if he has witnesses saying, yes, so-and-so is essentially a shaliach on behalf of the one who you owe money to, so then, mishalchen, then you can give it to him, and it's considered a shliach l'kabbalah. So a slight difference over here between Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Amre l'shmuel maitakanta. So according to Shmuel, how is the guy ever supposed to feel comfortable returning the money to the guy in Mardai if he's not able to get to Mardai? It's too difficult for him to travel to Mardai. So under what circumstances can Shmuel feel comfortable that he's giving it to a shliach l'kabbalah? Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he comes with his document that it's signed upon, he said that would be good. But according to Shmuel, that would not be good yet. So therefore, how can we satisfy the returning it to Mardai in a way that the guy doesn't have to actually get to Mardai? So, one of the possible answers is as follows. Kiha, the Rabbi Abba, there was Maisa Shoya with Rabbi Abba, having Masik Zuzeh with Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Rabbi Abba was owed money by Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. No, he wanted to get it from him. So Amar Leila Rav Safra, he said, Rabbi Abba said to Rav Safra, who happened to be going near Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Rabbi Abba lived far away from Yosef Bar Chama, and Rav Safra, who was a friend of Rabbi Abba, was going near Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, and he said, Rabbi Abba said to this Rav Safra, Bahade the osis, when you're going near Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, I sinu niali, go and get the money that he owes me and bring it to me. So Rabbi Safra dutifully goes to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama and asks him for the money. He gets there, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama's son, who's a person who's well known throughout Shas. That's Rava. Amale Rava Berei. Rava, the son of Yosef Bar Chama, says, wait a second, Dad. You have to make sure that you are fully protected and insured, so to say, that once you give the money to Rav Safra, if something happens to Rav Safra, you're considered that you paid back Rabbi Abba. So Rava says to Rav Safra, do you have documentation that you are a shaliach l'kabbalah? Amalei Rava Berei, Rava, the son of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, says to Rav Safra, mi kosav l'cho his kabalti. Do you basically have a shtar that says, when you get the money from my father, from Rav Yosef Bar Chama, the debt is paid off and is totally finished, even if something happens to you along the way, and the money never gets into the hands of Rabbi Abba. That's between you and Rabbi Abba. But Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, my father, he's considered to have paid off the debt. So Rav Safra was an honest person. He said, no, I'm only low. I don't have such a document. So Rava tells him, Ihachi zil bereisha v'yichtov l'chayis kabalti. Go back to Rabbi Abba, and the next time you come here, come back with such a document, and this way my father will be happy to give you the money. Otherwise, my father's giving you the money, but if something happens, it's not considered that he paid him back. That's what Rava said originally. Lasov, subsequently, Rava said that wouldn't even be good enough. Even if you came back with a document that said niskabalti, that wouldn't satisfy my father having paid off the debt. Lasov Amalei, he said to Rabbi Safra, guess what? E kosav l'cha nami hiskabalti. Even if you came back with a document that said, yes, if you take the money, it is considered as if I got it. Lav klumu, it still isn't considered good enough. Why not? Because dilma adiosis, because maybe in between your taking the money and returning it to Rabbi Abba, maybe Rachmanu Litzlan, shochiv Rabbi Abba. Rashi says he was an older person. Rashi says he was a zokin, and therefore the zokin who ukvar bitel shlichuso kodim shetekablim, and therefore if he were to die before Rabbi Abba actually got the money, the shaliach, he's not acting as a shaliach lekabbalah. He's acting basically that when I give this money back to Rabbi Abba, that's when my shlichus is completed. V'noflu zuze kameyasme. If Rabbi Abba were to die, then this debt, the money that is owed over here, belongs to the yesomim. And therefore, the shlichus of Rabbi Safra would be batel. And therefore, v'hiskabalti the Rabbi Abba, the fact that this statement that Rav Safra would have, that it's considered if the money has been received by Rabbi Abba, lav klumu, because it only will be worth something when Rabbi Abba gets it. But until Rabbi Abba gets it, so then it is not considered that Rabbi Abba received it. And if Rabbi Abba dies before he gets it, it will belong to the sons, and the shlichus will be batel. So this lashon of niskabalti is not really making him into a full-fledged shliach lekabbalah. It doesn't work fully in that way. So amalei. So therefore, Rav Safra said, no, my takanta. I'm trying to do a favor over here. Everybody wants the money to be paid, but nobody wants to not have it guaranteed. So how can I go and do this in a way that you, Rava, will allow your father, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, to go and give me the money to go pay it back to Rabbi Abba? That's the question that Rav Safra now says to Rava. No, so he says, Zil, Rava tells him, Zil nakninu loch agav ara. Let Rabbi Abba go and make you the Baal Chov. Let Rav Abba make a kinyan with you, agav ara, a kinyan agav, that you now are the owner of this debt. No, Rabbi Abba trusts you. So he's not afraid that you're going to steal the money and say, hey, this is now my money. So Rabbi Abba has basically given over, let him give over with a kinyan agav, with the kinyan of the ara, a kinyan agav, that you are now the Baal Chov. No, if you're the Baal Chov, as soon as you get the money, so then that is considered that the money has been paid back. And now the saw at kisov lon hiskabati. And now you'll write us a note saying that the debt has been paid off. If you write us a note that the debt has been paid off, so then there is no problem. The debt now has been paid off because you're the Baal Chov. And therefore, that is the only way that you could go do this, quote, via long distance without there being a concern that Rabbi Abba might pass away before he actually receives the money. And this Kinyan Agav was employed in the following case as well. He heard the Rapapa. Rabbi said this is exactly what happened to Rapapa. Having Masik Treisar Alfei Zuzei Bechozoi. Rapapa was owed money, a large sum of money, 12,000 Treisar Alfei Zuzei. 12,000 Zuzim were owed to him by somebody in the town of Chozoi. Bechozoi, a person who lived in Chozoi. And He needed to get that money, but he wasn't there, and the person who owed him the money wasn't coming through Rapapa. So what did Rapapa do? Akninu niyalei l'Rav Shmuel bar Abba agav asifa de beise. So he made a kinyan agav with this person who he trusted, Rav Shmuel bar Abba, and he said, you, via this kinyan agav, are now going to be the owner of this debt. You are now the Baal Chov. So when you go to Beit Chozoy and actually received the money, that person will say, whoa, I now have paid off my debt and I'm happy to give you the money. And therefore, he accomplished getting the money from this person in Beit Chozoy, which was far away from where Rapapa lived. No, when Rapapa finally got the money, he also, when Rashua Bar Abba came back with the money, Nafach Liapay Atabach, he was so happy, so he ran to go and reach him. Even before he came to Rapapa's town, he went all the way to Tavach, a certain place that was Mustama, not in his hometown, but it was near enough by that he went there to thank this person, Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, for finally getting him this debt that had been owed to him from Mustama some time, and there hadn't been a mechanism to get it to him safely. Okay, that's just an example of how this Kinyan Agav worked for Rapapa as well. That's why Rava had suggested it. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Nasan lo esakaren v'chulei. He said if the robber paid back the Karen, but he didn't pay back the Chomesh, so then only the Karen you have to go to Mardai to go and give it to him. But the Chomesh, so while you're obligated to give it to him, you don't have to go and trouble yourself to go all the way to Mardai. Okay. Where it says, what do you see from this? Alma, the Chomesh is Mamonu, that penalty of the Chomesh is considered a real obligation. Granted, it doesn't have the same requirement of going all the way to Mardai like the Karen did, but it is a real obligation. And the nafkamina is the imayis, if the person were to die, mishami le yarshim, the yarshim own it. This is considered an IOU. This is considered a debt. So the yarshim would have to go and pay off this debt. So let's say the Karen was 100, the Chomish is the 25 additional Zuzim, and therefore the 25 that he didn't yet pay could be collected from the yarshim. Now, we have a similar understanding from our Mishnah. Utanan Nami, if Nasan Es HaKeren, the Nishbal Chomish, he gave the Karen and he swore falsely about the Chomish, and then he retracted that swearing falsely, so that Chomesh is like a new Karen, and therefore Hari Mosif Chomesh al HaChomesh. He has to pay a fifth of this Chomesh as a penalty now. And what do you see? Same idea. Abba Chum Shomamonu. The fact that he has to go and pay a fifth on this previous fifth, so this previous fifth has been turned into a real Karen, so to say. It is a debt, and therefore it's real Mamona. And you even, if you swear falsely about it and you want to do tshuva, you then have to pay a chomesh on this chomesh. Alma chum shum mamonu. You see, this chomesh is considered like it's a real debt. It's real considered like real money. And furthermore, the Tani Nami Yochim, you have the same idea expressed in the following brisa. A person, Rachman Lusan, Hagoza Leschaveiro Vinishbalo, a person, Rachman Lusan, steals from his friend, and he swears that he didn't steal from him, and then he has Hirurei Tshuva, and he admits that he did, Umeis, and then he dies. So the Yarshim have to not only pay back the debt, but they also have to pay back the Chomesh. Yarshim Mishalim, the Karen, the 100 bucks that he stole, plus the 25 that was added on as a chomesh. Of course, however, uptur bin ashim, they don't have to bring a carbon ashim because they weren't the ones that stole. The carbon ashim was a kapara for the father who stole, and he is no longer alive. So therefore, they have to pay back the financial debts because that's mamona. Oh, you see here, chumsha mamonahu, because they have to pay that back. Of course, they don't have to pay back the carbon ashim. They don't have to bring a carbon ashim on behalf of their father because after misa, that's not a thing that you can do. Now, we seem to have just brought three rayas, the Yarshin, B'nei Shalume, Chumsho, the Avun Havu. So we have three rayas that, in fact, we consider it so much like it's an actual Karen, this Chomesh, that the Yarshin have to go pay it back. And we can delete the parentheses, but it's true. Amo Chomesh, Mamonahu. And now, Uboi Shlume Yarshin. The Yarshin have to go and pay this because it's a real debt. But here's the question, Urminu, the Gemara says, but the following Brisa doesn't seem to agree with that. So we did bring a couple of Brises in the Mishnayos that are supportive of that idea, but this Brisa disagrees with it. And this Brisa, Rashi tells us, is continuing a discussion that we quote over here in our Gemara. It's continuing a discussion of Torah's Kohanim. This is where this Tosefta is found. The Reish of Torah's Kohanim, where it says, Asher Gozal al Gizelahu Mosu Chomesh, below al gezelas ovid, that the only person that has to add on the fifth is the ganav himself, but not the yarshim of the ganav. Now, the Braisa continues and picks up over here, and it says, furthermore, Adayin ani omer, I continue and say as follows, when does the son not have to pay this chomesh that his father had stolen? That's only bizman shlo nishba lohu lo aviv. The only reason he doesn't have to pay the chomesh is because the father never swore, nor did the son ever swear that they did not steal it. So that's only true that the child doesn't have to pay the chomesh bizman shlo nishba lohu lo aviv. However, how do I know if he swore who v'lo aviv? If the son swore that, no, I don't have this in my possession, albeit the father did not swear that he didn't have the item in his possession, or aviv, the father swore v'lo aviv, but the son didn't swear, or both of them swore who v'lo aviv, each of them swore, and in fact, each of them swore falsely, how do we know in this situation that you still don't have to pay, the son doesn't have to pay the chomesh? So Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says, Asher Gozal, the pasuk says that he stole, or Asher Oshak, that which he had gotten illegally. He didn't, for example, pay the worker, so he had retained the money that he was supposed to pay to the worker. So in all of these situations, it says, Asher Gozal, v'asher Oshak. The who lo gozal v'lo oshak. And even though he swore falsely, this son in this situation did not go and do the gezela. He didn't do the oshak, and therefore he doesn't have to go pay the chomesh. This seems to imply that chomesh is lav mamonahu, and is a kasha on the opinion that chomesh is mamonahu. So how do you reconcile that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha. No, there's no difficulty over here between this last brisa and the Mishnayos and the brisa that we brought beforehand. They all agree that chomesh is mamonahu. How is that? Lo kasha. It depends. Kan shahoda. Kan shelo hoda. It depends. In the previous Mishnayos and the brisa that we brought, so there, the ganav had admitted, yes, I am a ganav. So even though he didn't swear falsely, so he was chayev to go and pay. The Gemara will question this in a second and say, wait a second, you're only chayev to pay if you swore falsely. If you admit, then you just have to pay back the principal. We'll get to that in a second. But in any event, Rav Nachman says that the Mishnah and the Braisa that say the penalty, the chomesh, is mamonahu, so then, kan shalda, that's because he admitted it. So the father admitted it, so therefore that debt goes over to the son, and the son has to pay the chomesh. And the braisa that says that he doesn't have to go pay is kan shelo hoda. The father didn't admit it, and therefore, that's why there is no penalty for the son to go and give the chomesh, because the father never admitted it. The father was never chayiv in the chomesh. Where it says, ilo hoda, if the father didn't admit it, so then, never mind the chomesh, keren hamilom shalim. Then why is the yoresh, why is the son having to pay the keren? The father never admitted it. So either bring a raya that he owes the money, or the son, the yoresh, doesn't have to go and pay it. So what are you talking about? He doesn't have to pay the chomesh. He doesn't have to pay the keren either. Ay, v'chitei mohochanami lo mishalim. Oh, that's what you mean when he says lo mishalim, means he doesn't pay the keren either. But then it says, v'ha midikah mahadir ha-chomesh, he specifically mentions the chomesh, l'meimer, the kerem mishalim, that he does agree that you pay the kerem. So what's going on? Furthermore, v'o tanya, we learned in that very braisa, v'adayin ani omer, emasai hu mishalim kerem al-gezalav, when does he have to pay the principal for the father's geneva? Bisman shenishba hu v'yaviv, if both he and the father had sworn falsely, then you have to go and pay the kerem. Aviv, but if the father had sworn falsely, below who and not the son, or who he had sworn falsely, the son, below Aviv, but not the father, or neither of them had sworn falsely, lo who, below Aviv, so then, minayin, how do we know that they still have to pay back the Karen? Talmud Lomar, Gizela v'Oshek, Aveda u'Bikadon, it mentions it again, these four scenarios, and Yesh Talmud, and there is a Talmud. Now, what does that mean, Yesh Talmud? We'll see in a second. V'Yosiv, Rav Huna, V'Karmel, Lo Shmaisa, when Rav Huna said this memra over, and he repeated it, so he said, Yesh Talmud. Now, Amalei Rabba Berei, his son Rabba, who was learning with his father, Rav Huna, said to him, what do you mean, Yesh Talmud? When you said Yesh Talmud, does that mean, did my father, did the Rebbe say, it means that there is a drasha behind this? Or, when you said Yesh Talmud, you really were saying, oh, Yesh Talmu, is my father saying, the master saying, that you have to go and pay it? So Amalei, so Rav Huna tells his son Rabba, I said Yesh Talmud Ko Amina. I had said Yesh Talmud, which means there's a drasha behind this over here, and that drasha is Umiribuya Dikroi Amre. From the fact that it repeated all of these things, the Gezo, the Oshek, the Aveda, and the Pikadon, so it repeated them in the Psukim. That teaches us that in fact you have to go pay the Karen back, but not the Chomesh. So the Brisa clearly argues with the Mishnah and the previous Brisa. So Ella Milo Hoda. So now we go back and understand when Rav Nachman said that the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about Hoda, and the second Brisa is talking about Lo Hoda, it means Lo Hoda Aviv, the Hoda Beno. The father didn't admit it, but the son did admit it. And in that situation, the son has to pay back the Keren. He doesn't have to pay back the Chomesh, but he does have to pay back the Keren, and only the Keren and not the Chomesh. That's what it means. Lo Hoda means the father wasn't Moda, but Rav Nachman is saying the son was Moda. No, so then if the son is Moda, v'nechai b'no Chomesh ashur didei, so since the son had sworn falsely, so then he should be, now, when he's Moda, he should have to pay not only the Keren, but he should have to go and pay the Chomesh as well. And this answers what I mentioned before. It's really talking about that he made a shvua and then was moda. Not that he just was moda. So when it says, Arme, b'she'en gizela kayemes. In this situation, you only pay the chomesh if the original gizela is still there. It's still extant. It's still around. But if the original gizela is not there, so then all you have to do is pay back the amount of the original gizela, kemosh nigzal, at the time of the geneva, and you don't have to add on the chomesh. So Gemara says, Ibish Eng Zela Kayemes, so I feel Karen Namilo Mishalim. Wait a second. The child over here shouldn't have to pay back anything if the actual Geneva is not there. If the actual item isn't there to be returned, so then he shouldn't even have to pay back the Karen in that situation. Because the Geneva is Metaltali, and the child, the son, the Yoresh, doesn't have to pay back Metaltali from the father. At least in our Torah, he only has to pay back Karka. It's only through the karka that he inherits that he has to pay back the father's debts. Shmuel says, no, there was achrayis. Lo tzricha deiko achrayis nechosim. There was achrayis on this geneva, and therefore it is a requirement for the son to return it. But he only has to return the karen. He doesn't have to return the chomesh if the actual item to be stolen isn't there. Adi Gemara says, v'chi iko achrayis nechosim, my habi. So what if there's achrayis nechosim? Milval pehi. This is the equivalent. This geneva is the equivalent of a milval peh. And a milval peh, eino govet, lo mina yoshev, lo mina lekuchos. You cannot collect it if it's not extant, if it's not there. You cannot go and collect it. You only go and collect it if it is extant. But if it's a milval peh, you can't collect it from yoshev, you can't go collect it from lekuchos. So Gemara answers, Amri, and we turn to Kuf Hei Omer Aliv. The din was already adjudicated. Bisha Omad Bidin. So in this situation, the father was already found to be liable. So this is not something that's a milval pa anymore. This is an IOU, a debt, like it was with the shtar, and therefore it can be collected from the son, it could be collected from the yoshim, it could be collected even from lekuchos. Gemara says, Ibishama Bidin, so then why is it only the Karen? Then it's no longer that the Gneva is not around, so this is an IOU, and if it's an IOU, so then I feel the Chomish Nami Mishalim, then the entire amount, not only the principal, but also the Chomish should have to be paid. So Rav Huna, Brother Rav Yeshua, he says, no. The fish ain't Mishalim Chomish, al kfiras shibud karkos. So this is an interesting din. He says, as Rashi points out, in Dibra Maschu, the fish ain't Mishalim, he says, this Chomish, why would it come? Amai Kasi, it comes because of Ashuasa, because of his false Shvuah. And that is lav shvuahi. That isn't considered a shvuah when it comes on karka. The kaimel of shvuahs, more shvuahs tells us, ein yishboyin ala kakos. You don't make a shvuah on karka. V'hai, ben, this son, ki ishtaba, when he is swearing falsely, kofar lo shibur hakarkos. He is essentially going against the shibur hakarka. And therefore, di'i lav mishum achrayis nechosim, lav alei rami l'shlume. Because if it wasn't for this shibur on the karka, he wouldn't have to go and pay it back. And therefore, he's making a shvua for the chomesh on karka, and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua says, you don't make a shvua on karka. And therefore, the principal he has to pay, but he wouldn't have to pay the chomesh. A second teretz is from Rava. Rava Amar, you know what we're dealing with, Hoch Mayaskinon, Gigon Shahoysa, Diskaya Shalovit Mufkedis Biyadachem. When the son denied ever having gotten the item, he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth, because the actual stolen item was not in the son's possession. It had been given over to somebody else. And when the son inherited his father, he wasn't aware that that stolen item was in the backpack. The duskaya means two, die is two, and sakya, two sacks. So it was in his backpack, and that wasn't in the son's possession. And therefore, the Karen Mishalim, because the father had stolen it, and the item is extant, so you have to go and return it. However, Chomish lo Mishalim, he doesn't have to pay back the Chomish, because the Chiyishtaba, when he swore that I don't have it in my possession, he actually wasn't swearing falsely. The Kushtishtaba, he actually swore honestly, because the Holo Haviyoda, he didn't know that he actually had it returned. So therefore, there is no Chomish that he has to pay, because he didn't swear falsely, and the Gezela is extant, so therefore, he has to go and give the Gezela back to the person who it was stolen from. A little bit of a tough shear, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up here tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.